The Today's Homeowner Radio Podcast is brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my co-host, Joe Truini. And this week, like every week, you're at the most practical, realistic, current home improvement information portal that you'll find anywhere. We've got a lot of great information for you, including we're going to tackle a few more toilet problems. Boy, I'll tell you that certainly a way that you can save a lot of money around your house with saving on that water bill by making sure that toilet is working properly. Also, a very innovative way to keep pests out of your house. Also, the right temperature in order to paint the exterior of your house. And we're also going to be sharing with you Joe's put together the top five simple solutions for fall.
That's right. We did this a little while ago where we chose painting simple solutions. And we're going to be doing this every now and then since simple solutions seem to be so popular. We won't be doing this instead of the regular simple solution, which I'll be sharing later on in the show, which has to do with an easy and correct way to roll up and move area rugs. But yeah, let's. You want to kick one off, Danny, right now with the very first top fall simple solution.
Okay. Yeah, let's go ahead and do that right now.
All right. When raking leaves and putting them into a trash can that's lined with a plastic bag, often the weight of the leaves, of course, pulls the bag down into the can, and then you have to keep trying to fix it. So to prevent this from happening, all you need to do is after you put the bag in the trash can, you fold its open end over the edge of the trash can as you usually do. Stretch a bicycle inner tube. Go to a bike store and buy a bicycle inner tube, or any department store carries them. They're, for $2, you can get one. And what you do is you stretch it around the outside of the can. It basically works like a giant rubber band. And you put it around the can, and it holds the bag in place really securely. And bike inner tubes are available in various sizes, up to, I think, about 26 inches in diameter. So depending on the size of your trash can, you might have to experiment with the right size inner tube. And if you can't find one, go to a local bike shop. They have lots of them that have holes in them, but they'll still be perfectly good for this use.
I've also tried this very thing and broke out a bungee cord, and it worked
pretty well. Yeah.
It's not quite as snug as the bike tube, but that's one of five simple solutions, or actually one of six that we're going to share with you during this hour here on Today's Homeowner Radio. We certainly want to hear from you anytime that you'd like to give us a call or send us an email. You can send us an email by going to todayshomeowner.com/ask. And of course, that Today's Homeowner hotline, that's a 24-hour a day, 7-day-a-week opportunity for you to ask us any question, comment, share with us maybe a few tip. We had a few of those this week, but you can pick up the phone right now, 800-946-4420. Joe, it has certainly been busy in the old Mobile, Alabama headquarters this week. We had our first annual meeting that we've had in about 3 years, where everybody that works, behind the scenes in the company, were all in the same room at the same time. You think there were some stories and some talking going on?
Three years of backed up stories. That was because of the pandemic. I guess everybody was,
of course, that's
was
right,
on Zoom. Yeah, mm-hmm. So everyone's there. Well, that's great. And you, and how long were they down for? Two or three days?
Well, some people were down for 2 days. Right. The main meeting took place all day on one day, and it was a long day, and I had to keep the coffee pots going because it's hard to sit there with that kind of download of information, because a lot of people may not realize all of the things that take place around Today's Homeowner Media. First of all, we're about to launch our 25th season the last week of October. We have the largest home improvement radio show in America. We have an extremely busy website at todayshomeowner.com. We have Three Echoes Video Productions. We have Checking In with Chelsea Webb Show. Oh, I'm getting tired over here in a good way. And, lots and lots of other things going on. And it's all centered on the same thing, the most practical, realistic information that you're going to get anywhere about your home. So we have a lot of fun with it. And speaking of visitors, as soon as this was over, I had a special visitor here at the house that happens to actually still be in town. You may know Barbara Johnson.
Oh, of course. She used to run the whole business. She was the gatekeeper.
Yeah, right? She raised me. I'm telling
she
you.
She was there a long time. Yeah,
she was there for 26 years. We're so glad to have her back visiting a little bit. We're going to she's going to pop in the office there and see some of the old guys that have been around there a while. But also the new ones, as they come in, she's going to go, right. Hey, who are you? You show me your ID. You're not getting past me until I know who.
Barbara was the receptionist, I guess you'd call her, an office manager and a little bit of everything.
When you think about it, when we started the whole Today's Homeowner Media brand, it was me and her and my still creative director, Scott Gardner. That was the whole entire company.
That was it. Yep.
Now there's like 22, 23 people that are involved in the company. So it was an exhausting week, but we got some fantastic ideas. We got some great things because we listen really, really well. And all of these things that people mention to us, we want to make sure that we do our best to implement them. So stay tuned for some really cool announcements coming up over the next 90 days. But Barbara told me a little story I thought was interesting, Joe, because it relates to a lot of calls that we get where people live in townhomes or condominiums and so forth, and they have a lot of sound transmission from their neighbors, whether it's the loud rock and rollers downstairs or whether it's the hard of hearing folks beside you that's got the TV up too high. Anyway, the townhouses that she lives in up in Georgia, it has the master bedrooms kind of back up to one another. So the next door neighbor asked her, says, excuse me, do y'all listen to TV kind of loud at night? Well, no, not really. Oh, okay. A few days go by. Hey, do y'all have video games up there? You play a lot of video? Well, no, not really. Well, next thing she knows, she hears this building and so forth. So she says, what's going on in your apartment? Well, I'm putting up a wall between a wall inside my bedroom, and I'm insulating it, and I'm putting special drywall up to block the sound out. And she says, well, I'll tell you, it's not coming from mine. Well, it went on and went on. Couple weeks later, the son-in-law was back over there building another wall in front of that wall because they couldn't, the sound continued. And Barbara says, look, we don't have any sound coming out of there. Well, the son-in-law finally figured out someone, one of the grandkids, had put a toy in a certain closet there, and occasionally it would make noise. So all of the work they did nothing to do with anything but this one little kid's toy. I think we had a pretty embarrassed neighbor there that Barbara had to deal with.
Yeah, not to mention her bedroom kept getting smaller and smaller, and the noise never went away.
That's what we were laughing at, that she's her master bedroom. Now she just has a little small single bed in there, so... Anyway.
Wow. Well, we've heard of a lot of crazy things, but that at least now they know what the problem was. Because if it is a neighbor, that's the only downside of those shared walls is, what are you going to do? There's really not much you can do if a neighbor's listening to the TV too loud. You can ask them, but that doesn't always solve the problem. Yeah, I'm glad Barbara's neighbor found out about that.
Yeah, that was kind of cute. She loves to tell a good story like that. So we're glad to have her in town, and certainly means a lot to us and the company, without a doubt. I'll tell you what, we've got a lot of information coming up here. And again, we want to hear from you on any little challenge that you might be having. And again, I mentioned earlier, the brand new season of the Today's Homeowner nationally syndicated television show is going into its 25th year. And those new shows, a number of new shows, are starting the last week of October. We'll keep you up to date with all of that and a whole lot more that we're dealing with. And, as we're moving in through there's so much home improvement that is affected by the weather. So you hear us talk about that a good bit. And as we transition on into the fall, we've got a lot of information to share with you, including the 5 top fall simple solutions that we'll be sharing with you during this first hour. Joe, is it hard to narrow it down to just 5?
Well, I picked 5 out of 550. So, there's some that I just remember because they're my favorites. So I'm happy to share them.
Well, we always encourage you that if you have any thought or any kind of tip, we do have a couple tips that were called in this week that we're going to share with you in just a little bit. And we want to encourage you on that because everybody has a tip, but you might think, everybody knows about using this for that to solve that problem. That might not be the case, and it might be something that we can share with the today's homeowner community that they may not know at all. And that's what it's all about. So if you have one of those, make sure you give us a call on the hotline, 800-946-4420, or send us an email by going to todayshomeowner.com/ask. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Every week, we're able to reach millions of listeners that love home improvement all over this great country on some fantastic stations like this one in Rutland, Vermont, WSYB AM 1380 and 101.1 FM. So glad to be able to provide you some great information there in Vermont and across the country. And we want to hear from you. If you've got a question there, don't hesitate to pick up the phone and call us anytime, 24 hours a day at 800-946-4420, or you can send us an email by going to todayshomeowner.com/ask. Right now, we're going to go straight to Nebraska. Paul's on the line. Paul's got a few little toilet challenges and questions. Tell us all about it, Paul, and welcome to the show.
Hey, Danny and Joe. Thanks for having me on. So,
sure, man.
Yeah, I've got got an issue with my toilet. So whenever I flush it, you know, it flushes like it should, and then toilet bowl fills back up, but then the water just drains right back out and leaves it almost empty. I've had two guys come and check it out. One of them snaked it and told me he had no idea what was wrong with it. The other one said that the bowl was designed to do that, and I just have a hard time believing that. So I put new guts in it myself and everything.
A toilet that's designed to drain out all the water.
That's a new
water-saving toilet.
Yeah,
it doesn't have any water in it at all.
Yeah, that's unique. Boy, that's... Paul, most of the time, vast majority of the time, is some type of obstruction. Now, the oddball thing about that is a lot of times it can actually be the vent, assuming that it has been vented correctly, where that goes all the way to the outside. You know, birds can build nests in those things. Other things can get down in there. Not unusual for it to have. And it almost creates like a vacuum that just keeps it from working properly. Now, Joe, we've also seen situations like this where the actual drainage down a little, maybe a little bit further than the plumber's, snake actually was able to go down into the pipe. A little bit of obstruction down there, even a partial obstruction, can cause this kind of weird thing to happen.
Yeah, possibly. The only other reason water typically drains out if there's a crack in the toilet. But if that was the case, you'd be seeing water somewhere. So I agree with Danny. I think this is a siphoning effect caused by something in the vent pipe. And it doesn't take much. And for people who don't understand how a vent pipe works, and we often use the example, if you put a straw in a glass of water and put your finger on top of it and lift it up, what happens? Of course, the water gets trapped in the straw. And if you lift up your finger, it drains out. Well, that's the exact principle of a vent in any plumbing system. It allows that air in to drain that water out. So if there's any obstruction, as I said, even just partial obstruction, it can create that siphoning effect and it's sucking out that water. So I would have, you'd have to say, if he's going to come back with a snake, have him up on the roof and snake out that trap and the vent pipe to make sure there's not something in there.
Oh, well, I never thought about that. Well, that sounds like it probably is it. You know, I'll call the guy back and never thought about sending a plumber up to the roof before, but I'll send
yeah, that's right.
Have him check it out.
Yeah. Just make sure he's not afraid of heights.
That's right. Well, Paul, yes, we feel like that'll take care of it. There's always a chance that it wasn't plumbed just right. But if it's something that's happened, that started occurring, most likely it is a blockage like that. Certainly hope we've been able to help you today, Paul.
Yes, sir. I think that'll help. I appreciate y'all. And y'all have a good day.
Okay. You as well. Have a great weekend.
I wanted to add that if they do find there's a blockage, I would put something over it. You know, not block off the...
Like hardware cloth.
Yeah, hardware cloth. Or they make those little cages you may have seen, Dana, they stick in gutters right over the downspout. It's trying to keep leaves from going down the downspout. You might be able to slip one of those over the vent. You don't want to block it, obviously, but just something to keep the squirrels from dropping in acorns or whatever's happening in there.
And I know you said before that's the way you use some of your old pantyhose that you,
I
you
do.
Don't know what
I
to do.
Well, I can't send them all to you because you can that's only right. use so many of these. So, well, if you're going to use pantyhose, it has to be fishnet because you want it, the air to come out.
That's right. You got to have a little swagger there when you're doing that. So, hey, Joe, we're sharing our top five fall simple solutions. We shared one a bit ago. How about another one right now?
All right, Danny, whether you use a rake or a leaf blower to collect your leaves on the lawn, how do you easily pick them up and dump them into a trash can? Well, here's one way. Get a 4x8 foot plastic tarp, fold it in half, and then staple wooden dowels to the ends just to form handles. You don't really need those, but they help a lot in adding some rigidity to the tarp itself. And then all you do is lay the tarp on the ground next to your pile of leaves, rake the leaves onto the tarp. Then when you grab the two handles, you can lift up the entire pile. And you'd be surprised how many leaves you can lift up because, of course, they weigh almost nothing. But they'll all get contained within this tarp. And then holding the handles, you can lift them up and slide them right into the trash can. And often you can do it, you know, hold one hand. So you hold the trash can with one hand and all those leaves in the other and just slide them right into the trash can.
Boy, it really works very, very well. And yes. As you said, you know, you can get an amazing amount of leaves up like that. But boy, if you try to use a shovel or even if you have one of those snow shovels that are real lightweight that you're trying to scoop leaves up, it still can be quite a chore. So these are all great tips to help you get through fall because it'll be here before you know it. Joe, we've got a great email here on one that we hear a lot about. This one came from Madison, Wisconsin. So naturally, it's going to get colder there before it gets colder in other parts of the country. But Teresa's asking, what is the lowest outside temperature that I can paint my exterior house trim, and what's the best kind of paint to use? Of course, we want to always mention to anybody that's doing any kind of painting is you got to prep it right. If you don't clean that, sand it, get it down to where it really will allow that paint to adhere to the existing surface, you're going to have problems with it no matter what kind of paint you use or what temperature it is. But on the paint, we love acrylic latex paint, and we also would recommend maybe not the highest, the top line paint, because it can be very expensive. Certainly not the low level of paint, but that middle of the road will serve you pretty well. Acrylic latex is great for the outside. You'll probably want to go with a semi-gloss since you're talking about the house trim. But what do you think in terms of the general opinion on the proper temperature tolerance for exterior painting, Joe?
First of all, I should say, read the label. Different manufacturers have different recommendations, but vast majority of them claim that you can apply the paint in temperatures as low as 35 degrees. And there are some paints now, brand new paints, that are rated for colder weather, but those are a little more expensive, a little harder to find. I prefer no less than 40 to 50 degrees, you know, no lower than 40 degrees. But the important thing is it has to remain that temperature for at least, I think, 4 hours after you apply the paint, right? So if you apply the paint, if they say you can paint it in 35-degree weather and you paint it, but it drops down to 30 degrees after, as soon as you apply the paint, well, that might be an issue. Because as Danny said, you want that paint, you need time for that paint to bond to the surface. So be sure whatever the temperature is that it remains that or warmer, obviously warmer would be fine, for at least 4 hours after you apply the paint.
And you know, something that we remind you about a lot to keep you from getting frustrated with different remodeling projects is to think about doing it in stages. You know, you may want to say, hey, this morning I'm doing the front of the house. Do everything, get it completely done. You've got that sense of satisfaction. You know you've done it right, and do the other sides as you have time. But you don't have to do it all at one time. If you have the time and able to do it and are that ambitious, go for it. But don't get frustrated. Make sure that you do it right the right way. Another quick email here from Mark in Lakeland, Florida. Do you recommend using TAPCON screws instead of traditional screws and anchors to attach shelving to a concrete block wall? I'm installing garage shelving with 16-inch deep shelves and heavy-duty shelf brackets. I like the easy installation of TAPCONs, but want to make sure the shelves will be able to support the weight of all my stuff. Well, that's what TAPCONs are made for. They're ideal for that type of situation, Mark. You do want to make sure that the pilot bit that you use is the exact size so that you get the maximum strength from those TAPCONs. And, Joe, I can't hardly help myself not to mix up a little epoxy glue, two-part epoxy. You know, you got that little double syringe
right.
that's available
yep,
now.
Yep.
And to mix up a little bit and dip those TAPCONs in there before I put them in. I just can't help myself. What do you think?
Yeah, well, it certainly can't hurt. And you want to make sure you blow out the dust or vacuum out the dust after drilling the hole. But yeah, the pilot hole, that's the key to the TAPCON. And when you buy them, they come with the pilot hole.
Mm-hmm.
I think the 3/16, I used to use these recently, in fact, 3/16-inch diameter TAPCON requires a 5 32nd-inch diameter pilot hole. And it's like, well, where am I going to buy one of those? Well, it comes with the kit, so you don't have to
That's
worry
right.
about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we think that'll be a great way to get those shelves on the wall and to stay on the wall. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, I'll tell you about a pretty innovative pest stop that you might be interested in. Stay with us here on Today's Homeowner Radio.
Welcome back to Today's Homeowner Radio. Here are Danny and Joe.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our best new product segment brought to you by the Home Depot, how doers get more done. You know, expandable foam ceiling's been around for a long time, but the folks at Great Stuff have just made it better and easier to use with their smart dispenser pest block foam. Now, one of the problems with these products was the mess and the fact that they were kind of a one-and-done application because it would just clog up in the tube. But this new design creates less mess, gives more control, and can be reused for up to 30 days. And the pest block formula is specifically designed to block insects and pests from entering your home without pesticides so that it won't harm bees, which become a big, big problem over the years. Plus, it's paintable, stainable, and sandable, and it'll seal up gaps and cracks up to 1 inch thick. So get yours today at Home Depot.
This week, we're sharing our top 5 simple solutions for fall, and here are numbers 3 and 4. Here's a clever way to clean gutters using a 10-foot length of vinyl downspout. And what you want to do is start by using a pair of snips to cut the end. Just snip the end of the downspout so you can pinch it closed a little bit, then hold it with some duct tape. That just creates a smaller opening. It makes the leaf blower much more powerful and adds more pressure at the end, which is what you need. So now you just slip the opposite end of the downspout onto the leaf blower, and you're ready to power blast your gutters clean. And what the advantage of this is, if most people use a ladder to lean it against the house or against the edge of the roof, the soffit, and they clean some gutter, 3 or 4 feet of gutter, and they move the ladder, and they keep moving the ladder. With this, you have 8 to 10 feet of gutter on either
wow.
side of the ladder, meaning you are power blast, you know, almost 20 feet of gutter at one time. So ordinarily, you would only have to move your ladder once or twice instead of 10 times. So there you go. Use a downspout and a leaf blower to clean the gutters.
I really do like that whole idea in being able to do that. And it's like so many things around your house. If you forget those gutters and don't look up there and you don't get up and do it, once you do, it is a mess. It'll be a leaves there that have started rotting and decomposing and such, and it's a lot harder. But if you do it on a regular basis and you do it on a nice dry day, a method like this works great. Okay, Joe, number 4, what do you have for us?
Okay, fall, not a lot of people realize this, I think. Fall is the very best time of the year to grow grass seed. And here's a tip for overseeding, which is the best time of year to do it. Right now, overseed any bare or thin spots you've found in your lawn. And what you do is you begin by getting a small plastic clamshell berry container at the supermarket, the kind that they use to sell like blueberries and raspberries. These containers have small slotted drainage holes in the bottom. They're narrow and they're like rectangular. They're not big holes. They're just little slots. And they're perfect for distributing grass seed. So all you need to do is dip the berry container into your bag of seed, close the lid, and just gently shake it over the bare spots in your lawn. And you'll get a nice even distribution of seed, which is important, without wasting any seed. And next, you just lightly rake the seed into the soil, water it, and cover it with mulch hay or something like that, just to keep the birds from eating the seed. And by the way, I should say that all these simple solutions, there are video tape versions of these that you can see if you go to todayshomeowner.com/simple solutions. And those are number 3 and 4. We have one more coming up later in the show.
That's great. Yeah, it seems like being able to kind of focus on a few of these like this. People are really enjoying that. And as Joe said, they're all waiting on you, both script versions of it as well as video versions of it at todayshomeowner.com/simple solutions. Also want to encourage you, anytime you have a question, there's a lot of people would rather email than call. That's fine, because we make it very easy by allowing you to go to todayshomeowner.com/ask. Here's one from South Carolina. Paul asked, what is the best way to add a roof over my front patio, which doesn't currently have a roof? Well, this is a tough one, Paul, I'll tell you, because there's just dozens and dozens of ways to go. But the one word that you mentioned in there that makes it very important to really make sure that it's going to look right on the home is when you say front. When you're talking about putting a roof on the front of a house, it has got to improve the look of the house, not drag it down. And I've seen many, many people go with little low slope versions or metal roofs or anything along those lines. And yes, it may provide cover from the rain and sun and so forth, but it's not increasing any value to your home, though you're putting that money into it. So, Joe, I always recommend on something like this is an architectural designer. You don't necessarily have to have that architect, but someone that can provide some very simple drawings of what it will look like once the project's finished. I mean, actually drawing your house. And, of course, there's visualizers now that you can take a picture of your existing house, download it on a program, and start playing with some roofs online. That's what the architects and a lot of the designers will do. And, you know, searching around on some of the other images of different roofs can give you a few ideas to information that you can provide to that draftsman to do their job.
And if you live in a neighborhood that there are lots of homes that are in the same style as yours, sometimes you just drive around and get ideas of what other people did. And I also want to say that we haven't mentioned this in a while, but there are plenty of contractors that own companies that are called design build firms. And what they do is they don't only build the project, but they also design it. So you don't have to have someone else design it. And those are great resources, because especially if they have more than like 10 years experience, they've probably seen a similar project that you're describing, in this case, Paul's roof addition. So check with a design build firm, because you might be able to, for one price, get someone to design it and build the project.
And I know it's tempting to do it in a, you know, a lower cost fashion with, you know, a flat roof or something that would serve the purpose. But I'm telling you, you'll be glad you did. Every time you drive up to that house, you want to be proud of it. You want that roof to be adding to the curb appeal, not, you know, taking away from it. And that's why it's so important. I mean, that goes the same for the, you know, if you're doing something in your backyard as well. But you really want to make sure you tie in and try to match. And now, a lot of times on those front porches, I know a lot of times we've made quite a statement with the way that we put this together. You know, you can really put your personality in a particular roof and the columns and the handrails and so forth. You just have to make sure it's very compatible with the house. And that's what the draftsmen and architectural designers can help you out with. And you might want to call your local home builders association and say, hey, do you have someone that's a member in your organization that works with a lot of residential projects? And I guarantee you they'll be able to recommend someone for you that can make that a lot easier. Hey, coming up, we're going to share with you a couple tips that different listeners have shared with us to give you an idea of some of the things that you might want to think about if you're scraping popcorn ceiling. We've got a great little tip on that. And also, we've had a lot of people call about problems with their dishwasher and it causing problems with adjacent wood, having some little damage here. We've got two great tips coming up that came right into our hotline from listeners when we come back here on Today's Homeowner Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Custom Building Products, the leader in flooring preparation products and tile and stone installation systems.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. Danny Lipford here, along with my co-host Joe Truini. And Joe and I both love to listen to the Today's Homeowner Hotline, and we just get some great people all over the country calling in with, of course, questions, but also a lot of tips and ideas and so forth. And we had an email that came in from Marge in Massachusetts. It says, I love receiving your emails and your e-newsletter and watching your show on Sunday mornings in my area. I have a suggestion, not a question. I was watching the show this morning, and I saw the guys were scraping the popcorn ceiling. And instead of having someone hold up a five-gallon pail for this popcorn ceiling work, it says, I have a shop vac and have someone hold the wand close to the work being done. You vac as you go, and it works like a charm every time and a lot less cleanup. You know, that is very good. Actually, Joe, and I know that you probably do the same thing. You know, you have a shop vac. We might want to remind people that occasionally you have to clean out the shop vac, the canister. It does
right.
not last for 5 years. And particularly that filter, boy, I tell you, you've got to take that filter out outside and really
right. yes.
clean that. And I think it should be that every single time that you finish using one of these shop vacs, you clean it out real well to get it ready for the next time. But if you are using it for something like this, instead of having to hold that vacuum cleaner up in the air because the hose isn't big enough, it's very easy to get a secondary hose that'll extend that to about 8 or 10 feet and make it a lot easier just so that you can use that. I know a lot of times when we're cutting inside to reduce the amount of dust and so forth, we'll use shop vac just like she's talking about to catch as much of that dust as possible because, boy, you can sure dust up a house pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I think every shop vac manufacturer sells separately. You could buy either an extension wand, an extra wand, or the flexible hose. So you can't extend it because that's the problem. If you have a 8 or 9 foot ceiling, you might not be able to actually reach it without holding up the whole shop vac, which, you know, if you have a big shop vac, that wouldn't be really very practical.
Hey, we have another call that came in on the Today's Homeowner Hotline. And if you're about to install a dishwasher, maybe you're changing out your existing dishwasher, you're going to want to hear this little tip that was shared with us.
Danny, my tip, I guess, or a simple solution is when you have a dishwasher installed in your countertop, as you open the door, the steam comes up and it hits the bottom edge of the countertop. My daughter said, Mom, they're going to warp that wood that's under there. She said, you better put some paint on there, something, waterproof it so that it doesn't warp. I use that dishwasher fairly often, and to think of all that hot steam coming up out of there, hitting the plywood and warping it could possibly cause a problem with your countertop.
Hey, that's a great, great, great comment. Great
yes.
tip on that because, you know, the thing about it is, you know, so many countertops, especially laminate countertops, are applied to a particle board. And rarely is that particle board sealed where it comes in conjunction with that steam coming out of the dishwasher. So great idea. And you can use just about anything to seal the pores of that wood. I would tend to think of using a clear varnish for some reason that just seems to give a little bit of better buildup there. But just a little throwaway brush and just any of those common areas like that. Pretty good tip there, Joe.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I would use polyurethane varnish, and you can even buy it in a spray can these days. But either way, apply a little to the underside. Now, if you have a granite countertop, it's not going to affect it. Would it affect any cabinetry nearby? I think it would be a lot of steam because when you open up a dishwasher, there's that blast of initial steam, but it dissipates pretty quickly. And so, you know, once you open the door fully. But yeah, if you have a laminate countertop, talking plastic laminate, if you look underneath there, you'll see the exposed particle board. And that would be the place to brush on some of that varnish.
Hey, this week we're sharing with you the top 5 fall simple solutions. Joe, what's number 5 for us today?
All right, here you go. Most people collect leaves by simply dumping them into a large plastic bag that's inside a trash can. And while there's nothing wrong with that, except when you go to remove the full bag of leaves, the bag forms a suction at the bottom, making it difficult to yank the bag out, especially if the bag is full of wet leaves. So here's how to break that vacuum so the bag slides right out. Take a drill with a 5/8 inch diameter drill bit and drill a series of holes around the outside of the can and also in the bottom. and the holes will allow air to flow into the trash can. So when you go to pull out the bag, it'll break the vacuum and a bag will slide right out.
Oh, boy, I tell you, I've seen that before. And boy, you're talking about aggravation when that suction of that bag like that,
oh, yes.
And you're trying to pull it out and you're kicking it with your leg. And next thing you know, you're wrestling on the ground with the garbage can. And the neighbor looks over and said, "You okay, Joe? You got a problem with your garbage can?"
No, so, they say, "Are you okay, Danny?" I don't do that. Well, that sounds like something you've got experience with.
Boy, great simple solutions that we're sharing with you this week. We just finished the top five. We'll have those posted on todayshomeowner.com/radio. And we've got another simple solution coming up when we come back here on Today's Homeowner Radio.
Welcome back to Today's Homeowner Radio. Here are Danny and Joe.
Hey, we've been talking about simple solutions, the top five fall simple solutions that Joe has picked out amongst all the many, many ones there. And now he's got a bonus one for us, our regular simple solution. Joe, keep them coming.
I don't think I've ever done six simple solutions in one radio show.
I know it.
But I'm happy to. I love simple solutions. I like sharing them. And the thing about simple solutions, Danny, we've discussed this over the years, is that there are many ways to do a job. And even the simplest job, there's a way to do it incorrectly. And oftentimes people are doing it incorrectly all the time. And here's one of them. When you need to move an area rug, a large area rug from a room, maybe you're refinishing the floors or replacing the floors or moving furniture, whatever. There's oftentimes you need to remove a large area rug. And what do people do? And I've done this myself. You just start on one end, you roll it up and you carry it out of room. Like, how is that wrong? Well, it's not wrong, but there is absolutely a better way. And here it is. What you want to do is you want to roll the rug diagonally from one corner toward the opposite corner. So not from the end, but from one corner to the other diagonally. And what that does is it concentrates most of the weight of the rug in the center, which makes it much easier to lift up and carry out of the room. Because what you'll find is when the weight's in the center, the ends are much lighter and they won't fold in half and sag down over your shoulder. It's like, well, not only that uncomfortable, but you can crack and damage the backing of the rug. And if you damage the backing of any rug like that, that's going to be a weak spot.
It falls apart. Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be a weak spot because that's the structure of the rug. You don't see it because, of course, it's on the bottom, but that's the structure that holds it, the tufts together. If you crack that, especially on an older rug where it might be a little brittle, you know, then the rug will start separating at that point. So you just roll it diagonally, throw it over your shoulder, and you'll find that with the ends much lighter, it'll stay straight and it won't flop down over your shoulder.
You know, a lot of times when you're rolling those rugs up that have been down there a while, you will be amazed not only at how heavy they are,
right?
But also, and they're heavy because there's so much sand and dirt and debris that works their way down in there. And even though you vacuum them and so forth, a lot of times you'll have a coffee table in the way, or you have a chair in the way. Yeah. And but boy, when you roll one of those things up, it's amazing how much dirt can accumulate in there. So there's a lot of ways you can get those rugs outside and get them elevated, and just the old, you know, the old fashioned taking the like the boat paddle and beating on that thing to get the
tennis
sand out.
Racket.
Yeah, tennis racket.
That's right, yeah.
A lot of ways different go. And as we've been talking about all during the hour of Today's Homeowner, a lot of simple solutions there. And again, I'll remind you, you can visit todayshomeowner.com/simple solutions to check them all out, over 550. Also, while you're there, check out where you can see the Today's Homeowner television show this weekend, because what you'll see is a very popular show that we aired a few months back called A Shed for All Seasons. Now, almost all of us have a storage building Outback, and a lot of times it can completely get out of hand. Well, we had one of those situations that we helped a homeowner out, but in this particular case, she wanted to start using it for a purpose, and that purpose was a small art studio. In order to do that, she had to have some heating and cooling out there. We took care of that. She also needed a better use of the space that she had in there, because she still needed to store things, but she needed her nice, quiet, little inspired place to create some very nice acrylic paintings. Well, we took care of all of that with careful reuse of a few cabinets, building some simple countertops. Of course, very important to have some light. And what helps light is nice, bright colors. We took care of all of that, even created a little gardening spot outside for all of her gardening tools to store all of that just right outside and kept it out of the rain. A lot of real nice, innovative ideas, something that you might be able to use at your house. And all you have to do is go by todayshomeowner.com and find out where you can see the Today's Homeowner television show in your area. Celebrating our 25th year on national television, brand new show starting the last week in October. I hope you'll tune in. It's going to be a fantastic season. That pretty much wraps up the first hour of Today's Homeowner Radio. I'm Danny Lipford along with my buddy Joe Truini. Thanks so much for spending some time with us here during your busy weekend.